this week, we're concluding all of those salvation stories we heard from Acts. So I encourage you, if you have your Bibles or smart devices, that you would find Acts chapter 10 yet again. If you were here last week, this is a familiar passage. We read the first part of it last week. We're at the back half of it this week. It'd be my privilege to read to you this morning, Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, or what we have referred to as the outsiders. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they'd have invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of the Lord. Indeed. A huggy and a kissy. This is the title of a book that my daughter Hadley recently checked out from the library. It also has turned into a new game I play with her, ripe with laughter and giggles and squeezing. It's the greatest joy. A moment of relationship that is as full can be, as complete can be. It is love and a great privilege of being a parent, interacting and being at play with Hadley and with my children. As a young kid, my dad would baptize us regularly. In the cool waters of our public pool, we would climb all over him. And jokingly, without notice, he would plug our nose and hoist us in the air while proclaiming, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And Dad would plunge us deep beneath the surface, the surge of water rushing past us. I'm not sure how theologically responsible it is to play baptism. But we really weren't all that concerned with theology in the hot summer months in southern Indiana. Southern Indiana is not all that concerned about theology. We were playing, and we loved it. That's a joke. I lived there. I can say that. Rising back up, we were all laughters and giggles, clamoring to climb the arms of our baptizing Father once again. I wonder if there's room for us to think about God interacting with his children with this kind of joy. A father so in love with his children that he involves himself in every aspect of their life. Children so in love with their father, they clamor to climb into his arms, to wrestle, to embrace, to be plunged into waters, rising up to do it all over again. A God involved, full as full can be, complete as complete can be, right with laughter, giggles, and joy. For Hadley and Ben, I'm not all that worried about their provision. Hadley and Ben will be cared for. They will have a place to sleep. They will have food to eat, clothes to wear. And though I cannot control their future, I can control their provision. And even if it comes at a personal cost to me, I will provide for my children. It's the greatest pleasure, you know? Like, it's the greatest joy and love of my life. Even if the day comes where I would need to lay down my life for my children, well, there would be no greater pleasure than to do that. I love Hadley that much. I love Ben that much. Here's Ben. Homie does not know how to love me like that. Neither does Hadley. In fact, if I were being honest, I would admit to you that I'm just learning at nearly 34 years old how much my parents love me because of me being a parent. I'm just realizing that. My children will grow up and they will misbehave. Hadley is already doing that very well. No, man, he's on it today. Me and Noah and our families were in Omaha together over the weekend, and Noah experienced it firsthand. Hadley will misbehave. She will rebel, and so will Ben. And they will make choices of their own that I cannot control. I will still be the father of a huggy and a kissy. I will still be the dad who gives horsey rides and plays hide and seek and laughs with a deep belly laugh when my children discover something funny. I am in love with my children in spite of some of the difficult things that are on the horizon. Is there room for us to think about God loving us in a similar way? In a provisional way, in a way that claims that all of our basic necessities are covered, that just as the birds of the air have nest and have a place to lay their head and raise their families, so God will provide for us. Not in a controlling way, not in a dictating way, but in a relational sense. That God will not allow us to be alone, that God will be with us, that God will provide for you, that God will provide for us, that God has a plan for us, and that God loves us. Is there room for us to think of God as a father and for us as his children? A God that interacts and plays with us, a God that has a promise and provides for us. I think you get it. Today is Baptism Sunday. In Acts, baptism seems to be the result of an interaction with the Spirit that signifies a climatic shift, a complete pivot in the life of believers. These dramatic shifts and whole-bodied conversions have the appearance of lives being provided for and guided by the will of something else, by the rhythm of something else, an outside source hovering above earthly circumstances with an aerial perspective that is filled with divine knowledge. A source that goes before us, ahead of us, and around us. As Jesus tells Nicodemus, the wind blows where it chooses, Nicodemus, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes, so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. This source moves to a rhythm, not just above us, but the rhythm comes to us. It falls on us. We have heard about it in the Pentecost story and with the Ethiopian, and it falls even on the terrorist Saul and on Gentiles at Cornelius' home. The Spirit interrupts us, moves us, guides us to the rhythms and heartbeat of God's overarching promise. The Spirit, God, and Jesus are in rhythm together, bringing about God's desired will for all of creation, for all of God's children. The Spirit's movement in the book of Acts is the story of fulfilled promise to God's children. The story of how God is interacting with his kids, whispering to them, nudging them, instructing them, molding them, transforming them. The grand tapestry of God's plan being masterfully woven together with various fabrics of color and texture. Various children of diverse backgrounds. God, the grand weaver, if you will, at work in spite of perceived limitations. Limitations like scattered tongues, or the strangeness of an Ethiopian eunuch, or the dangers of a radical religious terrorist, or the appalling nature of ethnic outsiders. In spite of these perceived limitations, the grand weaver, the great creator, God the Father, has a plan. He will provide. And he is madly in love with his children. God just longs to be at play with what God has created. So God, in spite of all the reasons why God shouldn't, moves. God moves. Through the Spirit, God was at work with his Jewish children at the Pentecost, calling all who felt dispersed back into unity and one accord. I wonder for those that could receive it, if this felt like the embrace of a jovial father or a loving grandfather, gathering all his kids from all over scattered places to remember just how much he loved them. I bet this encounter felt like salvation to them. The response to this great movement of God was to be baptized. The estranged Ethiopian on his way back to a strange land is interrupted by an apostle who the Spirit told to do so. The Spirit, in a conspiring plan with his unconditional loving Father, at work to include this stranger. When it clicks, when the Ethiopian realizes that the strangeness doesn't limit God, I imagine he kicks back his head and laughs for all those times he thought he was excluded. And I bet he clamors to climb again and again into his Father's hands. To him, this interaction was salvation. That day he was baptized. Saul thought he was doing right by killing people in the name of God. But then a blinding light stopped him in his track. God had a plan even for him. The sword-carrying member of the Jewish proselytes came to salvation. Releasing his assumptions to the grand weaver, the tapestry-making God uses subjects like Saul. That day, we're told Saul was baptized. Then, last week, we heard the story of Cornelius, an obvious outsider, a Gentile whose ethnicity represented the very decay of moral society. This limitation was no match, however, for a God seeking to gather all things, all nations, all creation under his lordship and reign. God might not control us, but God loves us and won't stop till every one of his children are lapping up his joy in his arms. As we read this morning, that day salvation came to the Gentiles, and their response was baptism. To be baptized is to die. Well, isn't that joyful? It is to submit. It's to die to self. It is to remember that our lives are joined to the one who gave his life for us, who went to the depths that no other could go. When we are plunged in a moment, a few of you, four of you, will be plunged into the waters. Ray, we may leave you down there for a minute just to make sure it does its work. When we do this, we are joined to this death. We are claiming that it is effective for us. We are also joined to the resurrection of Christ, claiming that along with death, we are joined to the new life of new creation. We are made new by that God who cannot stop loving us, who loves us all the way to the cross and all the way to the grave, and all the way in resurrection. In baptism, we are joined to the movement of the grand weaver. Our lives being woven into the promise of God to gather all things under his lordship in love, in joy, in grace, in mercy, in justice, in kindness, in gentleness, peace. God can't get enough. God just loves his children so much. You know, I don't believe God controls you. I believe we are free in that sense, free to choose. Have you come to face with a God who recklessly loves you? A God interacting with you with a kind of joy that's giggles and laughter? Are you clamoring to climb again into the Father's love, ready to be plunged back into his world again because this reciprocal relationship is joy? God is on the move. His salvation story is lapping up every corner of creation. We cannot tell where God and God's Spirit is moving next, but this we know. It's borderless. It's boundless. It's moving to gather all into the joy of God's promise, this through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Today, we have several that are marking or remembering this journey, several who have joined the joy of being at play with the Father. Have you ever thought about baptism like this? God dunking his children out of great joy and laughter. Their lives now being laid down to join the life of the unconditional loving God. With this action, they are claiming that they are better off in the hands of this free-moving God than they are in providing joy on their own. This is a testimony that cannot escape us. There are people today that are claiming, as you as their witness, that they are better off in the hands of a God that includes Gentiles. Now watch out what that means now. Our children could go off and do some crazy stuff because of that. These people are claiming that their lives is better off in the hands of a God who includes terrorists than it is to master joy on their own. They are living in submission to God's joyous and great plan as a mark that they are followers of Jesus, members of God's body, recipients of God's extending borderless love. Great joy is at work with the Father today. In a moment, we're going to gather outside. We'll do this after Eucharist. I'll give clear instructions, hopefully, and if I don't, just remember that after you receive communion, step on outside. And we will celebrate these lives, but we must remember first that we have a commitment to them. They are being baptized into God's family, and we are the church. We are to look after them. We have a commitment. Did you think that you just came to watch? These people have to be accountable to someone. Who do you think God chooses? God chooses you. I know it's a scandal. I wouldn't choose you. God chooses. I'm kidding. Kidding. But it is a scandal. You must think. You must be sitting there. I didn't come to do it. I sat down by Cleo and I said, I'm so glad you're participating with us today. And Cleo looked at me with eyes the size of quarters and she says, participating? I'm not participating. I said, Cleo. I said, I'm glad you're in attendance, but by being in attendance, you're participating today. You have a commitment to these candidates and to these members. We are to look after them, remind them that this God that loves them and to be that example to them. We are to hold them accountable, be present with them, offering ourselves in service and love to them. Are we able to do that? This is our commitment to them. So just an aside here, I'm good at doing that. One thing that our staff is working on to help us do that is remembering the baptism birthday of the four people that are being baptized for the very first time today. Next year, on September 11th, 2017, you're going to get a baptism birthday card from us for us to remember that we have a commitment to you and to celebrate that to you. I hope that today that you remember even your own baptism, your own joyful plunge into the hands of a great, carelessly loving Father. And then in return of remembering your own baptism, you commit yourself to the ones being baptized today. In each of the stories we surveyed in Acts, in each of the stories represented in our baptismal service today, I see God at play with his children. I see a God at work, and it's joyful, and it's playful. And more children are clamoring to be a part of a Father who loves them. So much so that they choose to die out to their own plans and provisions to find joy, to join the joy of the joyful Father. Say it 10 times fast. Several more will be added today. Amen. Amen. Amen.